This is Because You Can't Read All the Time. I'm Maggie, and I'm here with my co-host, Irish cockfight impresario, Aaron.
Hi.
And Hitchens the dog is somewhere on the premises this evening as well. You're joining us for the second part, or as you might call it, part two, of our Mick and Star interview series, where we interview Mick Jones, former lead guitar of The Clash, and Star Jones, his sister, but also the former co-host of The View.
Yes, and this is a groundbreaking interview series that we've been doing, because I don't think many people knew they were related.
Yeah, this really, I don't know why this hasn't appeared in more news outlets, because this has been kind of the best kept secret in show business.
Yeah, so, and we discussed that last week, but I think we just wanted to, you know, once we go back and we connect with Mick and Star again, I think we're going to move on to more sort of current events, we decided.
That is really what they seem to indicate that they wanted to talk about. I know Star Jones is something of a journalist because of her time on The View, and then Mick, I think, just carries a lot of the social activist tendencies from his days as a socially conscious punk rocker.
Yeah, and I mean, they're both very active in the social communities, all of them. So,
as opposed to the antisocial communities.
Yes.
Which are not something you want to toy with.
There aren't many, to be honest, but
you don't want to get on the wrong side of an antisocial community. And you really, really don't want to point out to them that they might be an oxymoron or a contradiction in terms. They don't like that.
They do not.
No. So, but yeah, so consider this part two kind of our Father's Day gift to you. If you might be a father, we aren't.
Yeah, I mean, which is why we're giving the present as opposed to receiving it, I suppose.
Or demanding them, as the case may be. But do you have any Father's Day resolutions? I always like to make a resolution on Father's Day, not related to my father. I just use it as a time to sort of assess where I'm at in life.
Genuflection, if you will.
Yes. I like to kneel.
I'm always kneeling. I hadn't. I guess if I had to, you know, reflect now upon my life as it stands.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a bit of, like, you know, the popular, you know, you hear everyone saying this on Father's Day, but I guess I just really want to lose, you know, those extra few pounds I've been carrying. So,
yeah.
You know, this time next year's Father's Day, I hope I'm a little bit thinner, really.
And that is pretty cliche, but I have to say that mine was pretty much the same. And I mentioned this to you in an off-the-record conversation, but my resolution is I want to get to the planetarium more.
That's true.
We were talking about it, and I just have not really been making time for it in my schedule. And it's so easy to go. I mean, I could go before work or after work or just real quick on my lunch break for a quick trip.
Yeah.
And Aaron made the point that I already have the membership, so why am I not going?
Yeah, you buy these memberships, and you're like, yeah, I'm really going to stick to this. And then mm-hmm. you just realize it sits in, you know, the little membership cards in your wallet, and it's, like, not seen the light of day in ages. And it's really kind of sad. Like, it's a waste of money, too, but
it is a waste of money, and the planetarium, I mean, you always see the big post-Father's Day rush at the planetarium, but my intent is to just power through that, and this time next Father's Day, people will be like, oh, don't I see you at the planetarium?
And your answer will be, why, yes.
Yeah, I'm at the planetarium quite a bit.
Every day.
Sometimes at, like, 5 o'clock in the morning.
I mean, my planetarium is 24/7, which is nice. And,
oh, that is nice.
Yeah, so if you're, like, you know, if you've had a late night at work, there's really no excuse. You can still make it to that planetarium.
If you really are serious about, you know, yourself and your goals, you'll be at the planetarium. So, anyway.
Yeah, it's not an excuse.
No. Okay. So those are our Father's Day goals, or resolutions. And I think, Mick and Star are ready to dial in. So, Star, are you there?
I'm here, Maggie. Thank you.
All right. And, Mick Jones. Yes, I'm here. Hello. Hello, everybody.
Hi, Mick.
All right. So we've got the whole fam-damily here, and you guys, I got the definite impression that you wanted to talk current events. So let's do this. More specifically, I think we wanted to talk about the protests that have been going on in Spain calling for economic reform.
That's right, Maggie. I mean, Mick and I, we've always been a sort of spokespeople for the Spaniards, really. That's what they like to be called, isn't it, Mick?
Yes, it is. A lot of people think they like to be called something quite different, the name of which escapes me at the present time. But I believe, yes, they prefer to be called Spaniards as opposed to conquistadors or Mexicans.
Yeah, I don't think those things are really terms used. I mean, as a Latina, I would never think to call a Spanish person a conquistador, even though I am of Mexican descent.
Yeah, I have to say that I've never heard that. But nevertheless, you are spokespeople for the Spaniards, so that's...
I wouldn't really try to argue with us, Maggie. I mean, I appreciate there are different viewpoints out there, but as a spokespeople for the Spaniards, I have to stress that we're kind of the authority on this.
Obviously you are. Do you speak Spanish?
Yo hablo español.
That's great. What about you, Mick? You speak Spanish?
Well, I sort of rely on Star Sister to do a lot of the communicate. A lot of the communication comes from Star Sister. I'm more of like the face of the Spanish people.
That makes sense. I mean, Mick has sort of the rock star edge and
right. All
that, so I can see that working.
And he's English, so that makes a lot of sense, I think.
Yeah.
So I'm reading that the Spaniards, I guess we're calling them Spaniards, want change. All I can really pick up is that, you know, they're just mad and they're not going to take it anymore, and they want social and economic change. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, these are trying times for a lot of people in America, as well as the Spaniards, the Chinese, and the Grecians.
I'm sorry, the Grecians?
That's what they like to be called, Maggie.
Okay, so we have the Spaniards and the Grecians. And it is hard. I mean, I know Greece has been having a very hard time indeed. And I imagine on Mount Olympus as well, they're not faring too well these days.
Look, I only know about the Spaniards, and what I know is that it's very hard for them. You know, the problem they're having right now, in particular, that has set off these riots, it's the concrete block situation.
Yes, the concrete block situation is a very grave one. It's a very, very grave situation that I think nobody really talks about, and I would say that that's due in large part to the lamestream media. Yeah, I said lamestream.
I'm gonna overlook that and just say that I am one of these people who maybe I'm just not tapped into current events. I mean, I'll admit these past few weeks with our current events pornos, I've been coming up drawing a blank, but
yeah.
I didn't know there were Spanish riots or
no
riots by the Spaniards, however we're referring to it. And I really did not know there was a concrete block situation anywhere in the world. I mean, what is that exactly?
Is there like a shortage or something?
There's the direct opposite, actually, is the situation right now. There are too many concrete blocks, and actually, one of the things that happened during these riots, you might have heard, it's on The Guardian and all these news sources, the Belfast Telegraph, a Spanish man threw a concrete block at a lady police officer, okay? So not like one of these you know, big Spaniard men. It's a lady doing her police officer routine, and he's pleaded guilty. But the reason he did it, you know, he hurt her, and that was unfortunate. Things got out of hand, but there are just too many concrete blocks in Spain.
Yeah, apparently they have nothing better to do than just lob them at each other. I guess I'm more surprised by the fact that you get your news from the Belfast Telegraph.
Yeah. I don't know about you, Maggie, but it's a pretty good alternative source for news.
Okay, I guess nobody really talks about the state of Irish journalism today. Maybe that's a podcast for another time.
Yeah,
but wow, so the concrete blocks. Yeah, I would like to address the concrete blocks, actually. There are quite a few of them, and I think it's just sort of one of those things where you don't really realise there's a crisis until maybe, you know, somebody gets hurt. And I would have to say that, you know, oh, look, we've got all these concrete blocks everywhere, but nobody really, you know, until there's a problem, nobody says anything. And I think that's quite wrong. Yeah,
Well, it sounds like it's a safety issue.
Right. I mean, I find it weird. So apparently the Spaniards were just wandering around, sort of tripping over concrete blocks. And then one day, a guy said, well, you know what, I've had enough. And he just decided to symbolically throw a huge concrete brick at a lady police officer. And I guess that's sort of what I'm getting from you and what news you've culled from the Belfast Telegraph and the Guardian. That's sort of what started this whole thing, a guy throwing a brick at a police officer, and then everybody just went nuts.
Yeah, I mean, is that how the riot started? I'm a little confused because, I mean, did everyone just start joining in and, you know?
It was social media. It was social media, Erin. All right. I don't know how familiar you might be with the Facebook or Twitter. I don't know if you've
been. I use MySpace myself. So.
Oh, that's very. Oh, so are you Amish or something? No, but I think, I know that where this came from was a simple person putting out on Facebook, I'm going to have a protest. And isn't that a beautiful thing? And in response, you got thousands of Spaniards saying, yes, let's have a protest. Let's all flood the streets of Madrid, cast off our concrete blocks we're wearing around our necks all the time. And let's do this, you know. And I think that is really, really something. And I think, you know, the Spanish are very lucky indeed to have advocates like myself and Star Sister. And, it's all from the Facebook. And you can read, you know, it drew all kinds of people. It drew young people, old people, families, you know, sick people, Christian people, sad people, all the different kinds.
That's right. Actually, America could learn a lot from
Spain.
Spaniards in this respect.
What, that it has all the different kinds of people?
Well, there's so much solidarity, you know? I mean, I don't think if somebody put something on Facebook about a riot here in America, anyone else would do anything, you know?
That's true. I mean, I put out stuff on Facebook all the time for, like, parties I want to have, and, like, nobody ever comes.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, really, the state of social media in America.
And the fact that nobody's coming to my parties.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Maggie, I don't really know about your party situation. This is a serious riot situation, and
I could throw pretty serious parties, Star. I'm sorry. I know it's not professional to get hostile towards an interview subject, but, you know, maybe I've had enough. Maybe I want to have a protest.
Well, then you should put it on the Facebook, you know. You should put it on the Facebook. I'm going to have a riot party. I'm going to have a party for the riots, for the Spaniards, and it would really, you know, let's work together on this. Let's really, don't you agree, Mick? Like, don't you think we could use some more solidarity with the Spaniards?
I think there's no such thing as too much solidarity. I will say that. And I also think, No, so Maggie's putting out a thing on Facebook saying that I'm having a party with Star Jones to celebrate Spain. And this is going to be a draw for most people.
I would go to that party. Sorry, I haven't attended any of your others.
Yeah, well, you're in the majority there, so I can't really be mad at you. But maybe I will. Maybe I'll have a riot party, and we'll just come. Everybody will come to my house, and just we'll turn on the Spanish protests, and we'll just rage through the night.
Now, is this something we can see on TV? Is that logistically possible?
Well, do you have a television?
I do.
Well, so I think that's half the battle right there, isn't it? I don't know. I myself don't watch network television. I primarily stream my entertainment via Netflix.
So I imagine if these riots get pretty big, we're going to be able to start streaming it on the Hulu and the Netflix and all that stuff. It all depends on, like, the publicity, really.
Wouldn't that be your job as the spokesperson, though?
You know, it's an upward battle. That's the thing. I think it's a lot sexier to talk about chihuahuas or, you know, this wiener man. And, you know, it's harder to talk about the Spaniards, get a lot of people together. It's a serious topic. People don't want to be depressed.
Well, and the Spaniards are not a very attractive people. I mean, if you're talking about Spaniards, nobody wants to turn on the television and see, like, a lot of sad Spanish people. They're not one of the more famously attractive ethnicities, I would say. So you're going to have a hard time, especially when you've got American politicians taking pictures of their private bits. You know, if you have a choice between the private bits and the Spaniards, I mean, I know what I'm going to look at, quite honestly.
I guess, but I kind of find it insulting that you're, you know, typecasting a whole country and their people as unattractive. I mean, and actually, I think that's kind of contrary to popular belief. I mean,
no, I believe you're thinking of the Italians when you say that. A lot of people confuse Spanish people for Italians.
Okay. I'm not going to argue. You guys are the spokespeople, and I'm sure you know. You know, I've never been to Spain. Maybe there aren't many attractive people there.
I would say it's like 50-50. Like maybe 50 of them are handsome, and other 50 are not.
Fair enough.
I would say, but there's more than 100 people in Spain, which makes it hard to say.
Yeah, we've only actually met 100 Spaniards. So
exactly, 100 Spaniards.
Anything more than that would be obscene.
Yeah, I can, I guess, I'm having a hard time following. So there's like, you know, a dozen eggs, you know, 12 eggs is a dozen. More than 100 Spaniards is obscene. Like,
I guess we're not spokespeople here, so we're having some hard time following you guys. I mean,
if I'm like a spokesperson for Amnesty International and I meet like more than 100 people who work for Amnesty International, is that wrong?
I'm not saying it's morally wrong. I'm just saying that, you know, there's only so much we can do as spokespeople. We picked and chose who we met, these 100 people, but anything beyond that, we're not going to be able to remember. So.
And I would say that it would be obscene just because the Spanish, I don't know if you know this, Maggie or Aaron, are a famously sensual people. And so if we were to meet more than 100, the chances that, you know, things will get a bit weird or perhaps quite inappropriate get exponentially higher the more that you're meeting. I mean, you know, these are the questions that you have to think about as a spokesperson. I mean, is it appropriate for me to wake up next to one of the Spaniards I'm purportedly representing?
Wait, so I'm a little confused now, even further, really. So not only are the Spaniards unattractive people, but they're also extremely sensual?
Well, Yeah, okay, wow. Yeah, explain that one. Have you ever heard the phrase, fat girls do more things? Alright. It's the same thing. They're just like really, really unattractive people who are so desperate to be loved. And there's not much they won't do.
It's true, Maggie and Aaron. This is why we had to be careful when we accepted this spokesperson deal. We watched out for ourselves, really.
Right. Okay. Well, I don't know how it makes you feel, Star, to hear Mick say these things about, you know, the unkind comments he's made toward overweight girls. I mean, that can't be good for you to hear, given your past. Star's sister was sick.
Oh, Miklas, we all know that I had gastric bypass surgery, and you know what is the best thing I ever did? Because the fat girls, they don't get many boyfriends. They don't get much. I mean, I got publicity. I got on The View. I was a very lucky person. But it was a character flaw in me, and I'm happy. You know, I think more people should know about my gastric bypass surgery. I think more people should try it.
I thought we were told that we would call it your sick times.
Miklas, that's ridiculous. I've always been extremely open about my procedures.
Wow, Star. Well, I would say that the amount of candor that's come out of this interview has been really, really impressive.
Yeah, I mean, this has been a very, we've learned a lot about, you know, the issues and also your personal involvement in the issues.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I didn't learn that much more about Spain. But
in fact, I'm kind of more confused about Spain.
I think I know less about Spain than I did coming into this. And I have been to Spain, so
Well, all I'm going to say is two people's experiences cannot be the same, which is why there are two spokespeople for the Spaniards, and it's me and Mick. And I understand other people are going to have different experiences, but we're just here to show it. You know, show it the way the Spaniards want it to be shown, so.
Yeah, and so few people speak Spanish that it's really important to have somebody to kind of communicate for them.
Claro que sí.
Claro que sí. Well, Mick and Star, you know you're welcome here anytime.
Yeah, and it's been a pleasure. Like we mentioned last week, Star has been staying with me in right. Chicago, and Mick has actually been a guest of Maggie's right. down in Tejas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I loved it. I got a cowboy hat, and I got to see a rodeo, and I met a Mexican, which is the same thing as a Spaniard. Not a lot of people realize.
That is true. There are a lot of different Hispanic-type people where Aaron lives. I've had quite the experience. I've been shown many different things. Chicago's a great place. It's a great place. I met Oprah. It's been amazing.
Well, that's great. I'm glad that, and Star, it's so rare that you effervesce about things. So I'm glad that you had a good time. So, Star, safe travels home to you wherever you came from.
Probably going to go back to Spain, be honest.
Yeah, it's important that you be with your people during this time of struggle for them. And Mick, safe travels back to England. Thank you very much.
Yeah, this has been, you know,
it's been beautiful.
Very fun.
It has. So, good night, Mick and Star, and I'm sure we'll chat again soon.
Yeah.
All right. So, we got rid of Mick and Star. They just signed
Thank
off.
God.
What?
Sorry, it's just really hard with them. Like, I kind of feel like, you know, they're not always clear, are they?
No, they're almost, like, opaque. Like, it's so hard to understand what they are saying sometimes, and I don't know about Mick. I mean, sometimes he seems really lucid, and then other times it's like he's maybe a child.
You know what, though? Like, yeah, I can see what you're saying about Mick. But he's a million times better than Star. Can I just say, sharing my apartment with her, she'll just turn on you like that. Like, she'll be so glowing and happy, and then all of a sudden you're like dirt to her. It's crazy.
Well, and that probably explains a lot about Mick, why he has, like, flashes of coherence, you know, and then the rest of the time he's just sort of this quivering man-child. It couldn't have been easy for him, and I know we're still not clear on which one is older than the other, but assuming what she says is true and he is the younger sibling, it probably really did a number on him growing up.
Yeah, I can't imagine, you know, she must have been, she was his only family. So.
Right, yeah. But they are really observant Greek Orthodox. I know Mick was always headed down to the local Greek Orthodox church here, serving often as a lector, reading the Bible passages at church, so.
Yeah, Star was the same. It's amazing how quickly, I mean, I guess the Greek Orthodox community, it's pretty small, but everyone seemed to, you know, expect her, and, you know, everyone knew her, and it was interesting, for sure.
Yeah, that's a good thing that you mentioned that, because I was really surprised. I mean, I drove him down, you know, to the Greek Orthodox church by my house, and right off the bat, there was, oh my God, it's Mick Jones, like, you know, thank you so much for coming down here, and it was just amazing. They had a little party for him. We drank a lot of ouzo. It was a good night, I must say.
Yeah, they're ambassadors on many different levels, for the Spaniards, the Grecians, I guess
they're Greek Orthodox, so if that's what they say that the Greeks like to be called, then I'm going to have to go with that. Although, I was very unclear as to how, like, aware Mick was of the actual theology of the Greek Orthodox Church, which, you know, I'm not an expert, but I'm guessing they don't really pray to, like, Athena and Zeus, which he seemed to think that they did. So there was some minor disagreements there, and it's not my religion, so I'm not going to press the issue, but that was the first I've heard of it.
Yeah, I was a little taken aback by that as well.
Oh, Star does that too? Star does that too?
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple of times, she had this weird, like, figurine of Diana or whatever, like, just, she brought it with her, and it was in this box, and I didn't think anything of it. I thought, you know, she's an important person. She's a spokesperson. She's famous. She's a journalist.
Right.
I'm sure she has accoutrements that she needs. And, you know, she unpacks and I come back later. And she's got this shrine to Diana. And I was just like, I don't know. I mean, that seems like it goes against a lot of Christian religion. But, you know, I can't say that I know a lot about the Greek Orthodox faith.
Right, and me either. And so when I come home and Mick has one set up to Hercules, but the Hercules from, like, the Disney movies.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. I was like, okay, weird. So, you know, everybody's faiths are different, I guess, is what I learned. And he did love his experience at the rodeo. He got to meet the rodeo clown. And they let him, I don't know if you've ever been to a rodeo where they, at, like, halftime, I guess, have the little kids come out and, try to lasso goats. No, I'm serious. So, they let Mick come out and try to lasso up a goat.
Wow. But he's not a kid, so.
A lot of people forget that, though. You know, everyone just sort of, he's so sweet and childlike. Most of the time. But he went out there and gave it his all, him and all the other kids trying to get the goats. So, but they also do this thing at rodeos where, like, they have the kid ride, like, a small bull. Like, it's everything they do at a rodeo, but just, like, smaller.
Isn't that dangerous?
Those kids get messed up. Like, I saw a kid get taken out on a stretcher. Not this time, but another time that I went. Yeah.
I didn't know you went to the rodeo.
I mean,
often.
I don't go all the time. I've been twice, once with Mick, and then one time when I first moved here to say that I'd been to one. I will say I learned something that I like at the rodeo, which is girls wear sundresses with their cowboy boots. And I liked it. I did. But I feel like if I were to wear cowboy boots in Texas, people would be like, you're wearing them wrong. You're not Texan.
There's only one way to wear a cowboy boot.
Well, I would have said the same thing about bandanas, but, you know, gangs see it differently. So you just never know.
Yeah, it's best not to put yourself out there, I guess.
I don't want to get gunned down by a cowboy gang.
There's lots of those, I understand.
You know what they do have in Texas are cowboy churches.
Oh, I bet.
And, like, I met a guy who was like, I go to the cowboy church. And I was like, oh, well, what's that? Which I feel like is not an unreasonable question at that point. And he's like, well, you know, it's like a church for cowboys. And I'm like, yeah, except I know you're not a cowboy. So what do they actually do there? Sacrifices? Like,
that's weird. So technically anyone can join the cowboy church.
Yeah, they don't discriminate. So why bother calling it a cowboy church? That would be like if I was like, yeah, I go to a dog church at my house.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's in keeping with a lot of religions that all are welcome if they have the interest. But so, in that sort of scenario, typically it's like, oh, you may not be Catholic, but you're welcome to sit in, maybe. And, you know, maybe the point is eventually you'll decide it's the denomination for you.
Right.
But so is there a way to convert to become a cowboy?
Yeah, so let's say you do get, like, you know, you start maybe attending or invited to attend, like, a Catholic mass, and maybe, like, yeah, eventually you become Catholic, but you don't have to change occupations, you know, like, you can still, you don't have to quit your normal job, but, like, if I go to a cowboy church and it's like, is it all about being a cowboy, or is it affiliated with some religious denomination? Otherwise, it kind of sounds like maybe it's a church where you pray to cowboys.
I mean, a lot of cowboys are attractive, so it might be a good thing in some ways. Okay. Like, maybe if you're a single lady, you can make some contacts.
Song they play at the cowboy church, like, blaring on loudspeakers. Oh, the single ladies! Oh, the single ladies! Which is really confusing.
Yeah, I would be confused yet turned down.
Actually, this is really random, but I saw, like, the saddest Facebook status ever from someone, and it's not a reflection of the person who wrote it, but it just said, the Facebook status just goes, it's a trap, it isn't Greece, it's a church show.
What?
And I was like, wait, so somehow some church was, like, advertising that it was putting on Greece, but then when people came there, it was a church show of some kind?
Like, were they trying really desperately to convert people?
I don't know. Maybe it was a cowboy church. And then the best thing after that is someone wrote, yeah, I saw the flyers for that, but we were kind of worried because of the side of town it was on. And so I'm like, does the church know? Like, oh, we're in a really bad part of town. The only way anybody's ever going to come here is if we promise them a production of Grease.
Because that's family friendly.
Right, yeah. It's like, wait, what? I'm so confused.
It sounds like the place that you live is just this whimsical, yet scary because of all the burglaries and wrong sides of town. I mean, it sounds crazy is what I'm getting at.
Come to the other side of the tracks and watch Grease.
You'll get burglarized.
And while you're out of the house, people will break in. Well, like, somebody broke into the house across the street from my friend, and, like, another girl was like, oh, I'm so worried about you. Like, that was right across the street from where you live. I'm like, people routinely break into houses in my neighborhood. Nobody's ever said they're worried about me.
Yeah, well, that's because you're strong.
Well,
so
it's like Ice-T says, you know, one down bitch is worth four funky hoes. And I think
that is very true.
And I think people know, you know, like, oh, Maggie, she's a down bitch. You know, I don't have to worry about her.
You know, people often say that about me, too. I've had several instances where, like, for instance, when I lived with my roommate in graduate school, I didn't know this at the time, but it was, would have probably been a little weird had I known. But apparently, like, nights when I went out or, like, you know, was partying or whatever, and she was home alone, she would, like, barricade herself in her room. She was afraid someone was going to break in, and somehow when I was there, that was less likely. Like, this big, strong woman, like, wow. I don't know. And it's not just her, and I don't know, like, we lived in, on the ground floor, so maybe there was, you know, a legitimate worry that if there was less activity or whatever, you know, it would, they would think, you know, I could just break in. But then I had another friend, and she moved sort of downtown Chicago and in a really nice area, actually. But when she was moving in, somebody actually broke into someone's apartment in the building she was moving into, and her parents kind of freaked out, and they were like, you know, it's a studio apartment, but maybe if you think, like, it's pretty big, maybe somebody you know could move in. And for some reason, her go-to person was me, because I apparently make, you know, these women feel safe, which is weird because I'm shorter than all of them.
Yeah, like, well,
I'm actually probably a lot less fit than most people, so it's just a little weird.
That's how you know, that's how you can tell the down bitches, though.
Yeah, that's what I am, I guess.
Two down bitches. Watch my house get broken into tonight.
Yeah, that's probably going to happen.
Didn't you hear I was a down bitch? You can't be here. Get out.
Leave.
I'll take you to the cowboy church. And you'll have to sit and watch the worst production of Grease ever.
And it's on the wrong side of the track. So watch out.
And it's not one of those nice churches. Mm-mm. No, it's going to be a creepy, creepy church.
Cowboy church.
The haunted cowboy church. Yeah, that's what I'll do if my house gets broken into.
That sounds like a solid plan.
They'll be
I'll
like,
probably
oh.
remain asleep.
They'll be like, oh, you're going to take me to the creepy cowboy church? Okay. I was going to say something about, maybe not about church. I feel like we've talked more about, this is not a religious podcast. I feel like we've maybe talked more about church than we have in previous podcasts.
I mean, we're spiritual people, don't get us
but
wrong,
that's not but what this is for.
Yeah.
This isn't one of, you know, that's what Hitchens, the dog, wanted this to be about. But I told him he could get his own podcast.
I look forward to hearing that. I know that Hitchens, I mean, we've had a contentious relationship in the past, although I've never met him in person, but I know that he takes offense to me, you know, co-hosting this with you. I think he feels like it was his moment to shine.
I think he sort of took it for granted when I told him I wanted to do a podcast that he would be the co-host, and but, you know, he can't really talk. I mean, it's not a slam on him. It's just a simple fact that these days, dogs, they don't talk so much.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe, sadly, Rusty and his owners moved, so I no longer have Rusty on the premises.
Well,
but, you know, maybe if he had stayed, him and Hitchens, they could have done, like, you know, the late show version
right.
of our podcast.
Well, and the thing about it is, like, you are a cockfight impresario. You put on these very elaborate cockfights. But I don't think any of the roosters sort of assumed that they would be co-hosting when they found out that you were doing a podcast.
Yeah, I mean, we call them cocks.
Yeah.
COQS. But, yeah, no, I don't have that sort of relationship with my cocks, so
no,
it just wouldn't even be discussed. you know?
I don't really know what kind of relationship you have with your cocks.
I mean, you know, it goes back to our previous conversation. It's clear that I'm a down bitch, so they respect me, and, you know, if it weren't for me, they wouldn't have gainful employment, they wouldn't have a place to live, they wouldn't have, you know, the glory of being a star, really. So, and I really take them under my wing, so to speak.
Which is ironic, because you don't have wings, but they do.
Exactly. And boy, do they know it. So.
and they never let you forget. Yeah, well, I assume that's part of the training, you know, teaching them how to use their wings in a threatening or menacing manner.
Yeah, I mean, there's a beauty to the art of cockfighting, and, I mean, they all have that beauty within them, but it's just my job to sort of give them the confidence to know that, you know, you can do this.
Right.
It's not all about me. I mean, yes, I'm sort of the ringleader, if you will, and I am the impresario. Mm-hmm. So I do receive a lot of, you know, accolades, but, you know, people are there to see the cocks, so.
They always are.
I mean, that's a lesson for life, really.
Yeah, that applies in so many facets. Yeah, and these days, you know, people hear, like, cockfight impresario, and they think, wow, you know, she must have such a glamorous life. You know, there's a mystique and a sort of general perception in our culture about the life of a cockfight impresario. So, you know, I just want to thank you for keeping it real and, you know, doing this podcast to let people know that, like, no, like, you're a person, too.
Yeah, I mean, sure, I mean, people know who I am. Right. You know, they recognize me on the streets and stuff, but I'm not going to lose, you know, the sort of, you know, I remember what it was like when I was struggling and, you know, I know what it's like. So I'm going to be real. I'm, you know, going to recognize that, you know, I'm a very lucky person and I just want to give back, really.
You're still Erin from the block.
I certainly am.
That's great. All right. Well, I think that we just have the current events porno left to do for tonight, and we're done with this week's edition of Because You Can't Read All the Time. So, what's going on in the world? Ron Paul won the straw poll at the Republican Leadership Conference. And Obama and Speaker of the House Boehner played golf in Maryland today.
I'm sure that's not all they did in Maryland.
No,
I think... If you catch my drift.
Right, and that's our current events porno, I think. Because every week we try to come up with a pornographic premise based on a current event. And I would say that this week, yes. You know, Obama and Boehner, they're playing golf. And, you know, they go back to the clubhouse and, I don't know, Boehner loses his pants in the locker room.
Well, maybe Obama spilled something on him.
Yeah. They're, like, enjoying post-game cocktails and Obama spills on Boehner's shorts and it's like, oh, no, let me take those off for you. And you can imagine where it goes from there.
Yeah, y'all can fill in the blanks.
That's not our job, you know. This is a PG podcast. All we do is provide the premise for the people and then let their imaginations go hog wild.
Yeah, we're really not responsible for where you take this.
We're not pornographers ourselves.
Yeah, that's just gross.
Not anymore.
Well, we all have past. So.
Right. And I'll be the first to admit that I have a past. I mean, I did not spring forth fully formed from the forehead of Zeus, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, 'cause if that were the case, let me tell you, that interview would have gone a lot differently.
Well,
with our Orthodox friends.
With our Grecian Orthodox friends. Apologies to any Greek Orthodox listeners we might have out there. So, anyway, all right. Well, thank you very much, Erin. I look forward to recording with you next week.
Anytime.
And thank you for listening to Because You Can't Read All the Time. Good night, everybody.